Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're going to be speaking on how to have God's life living in you, and this is part 21. If you want to order this tape or CD, you ask for tape or CD number 123, and you can, the way to get it is to, you can either fax us, email us, call us, or write us. Now, if you want to fax us, the fax number is...
Area code 479-782-7406.
And if you'd like to email us, simply...
Go to alamoministries.com.
Okay, and if you want to call us, give us a buzz.
Area code 479-782-7370.
And if you'd like to write us...
Tony Alamo, Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505.
And please specify whether you want a tape or a CD. And on this particular program, is asked for tape or CD number 123. We have some letters today. And right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to anoint outwardly this very important message. Lord, anoint me outwardly and take hold of my tongue. Let the things that you want said be said on this program, that the souls in the world can be saved and that the church may be edified, strengthened in your power, your might, your spirit. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now the first letter is from...
from Ghana, Africa.
All right, let's hear it.
May the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and your ministries by increasing His knowledge and power in you through the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank the Lord for the work He is doing through your ministry to bless every person on this earth, especially those who have entered into the service of the Lord. I read a piece of your literature entitled Earthquake. Please, Pastor, this is the literature that I have read which has caused me to take Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I just came across my friend called Nelson who was holding one of your literature books. I picked the book from him and started going through the book, and it said something about God coming to destroy the world with fire, and also He is coming like a lion. Pastor, immediately when I finished reading it, something pushed me to take Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Pastor, that was an amazing piece of literature, and what I'm trying to say to your ministries is that you should try to force your ministries into your country.
Oh, we are forcibly taking our ministry everywhere. The Bible says that we are to take this ministry and go with it with force and violence against all these people in the world government, which is dictated to by the cult in Rome and the media. We are taking this world, this earth over, because it belongs to the Lord, by forcefully preaching the word and violently rejecting your dogma, your filthy lies. We are not using carnal weapons of warfare like you people do, of the secular government, but we are using the most powerful weapon of all time, the same weapon that God used when He was here in this world, the same weapon that God used to create the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof, and that's the Word of God. And so no one can fight against the Word. You may try to fight against it, but the Word of God at the end is going to judge you and condemn you. You're already condemned if you don't do what the Lord tells you, and going to send your soul into a burning pit of hell and then the lake of fire. So the thing that we have to remember is we are... the just live by faith. We must live by faith in what God says. That's what faith is. Many people today are preaching that you should have faith in yourself. But if you ever get to the point to where you're going to be saved, you'll have to lose all the faith in yourself and place all of your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I was saved, I had all the faith in the world in myself and nobody else. And then I realized, when the Lord started pulling the breath out of me, in and out of my body, when I was in the office doing a promotion for a singer, I realized that I had no faith in my ability to keep my breath in my body. I realized that I had no power to hold my spirit in my body any longer than God wants it to. And I screamed out to him, "Don't kill me, don't send my soul to hell." And so he spared me. I told him I'll do whatever he says. And I've been doing that for almost 42 years now. And so I know that I have no confidence in my ability to retain my life in me. But my life now has joined the life of God. That the Lord has incorporated his eternal life with my temporal life, so that I now have eternal life. And now I have forgotten that I am anything. I forgot that I'm something. Yeah, but I always remember that anything that I do, anything that I am today or ever will be of the Lord. Because so I have faith in him. I have faith in his word. I have faith in his righteousness, not mine. So many people are saying that they have God's righteousness, and yet they're out sinning. They don't have God's righteousness. If God the Father, with Christ, with his Father by the Spirit, is living in you, then you have God's righteousness in you and upon you. But if you're just living a sinful life, and there's been no change in you, you are not a new creature, then you're not... God has not incorporated his spirit with yours, and you're lost. And you still have confidence in your life and in your way of life and the things that you think of, which are garbage to the Lord. They're like a filthy menstruous cloth. They're the Bible says that they are filth to the Lord, your ways. So, and you're righteous. You have no righteousness. Only God does. And if he's not in you, then you're nothing. And that's why we're doing this whole series. The Lord has got me doing this whole series on how to have God's life living in you so that you can have God's righteousness, so that you can have consecration to him, so that you can be justified by your faith. I'm doing a tape on how that there are six different manifestations of faith. Just did that tape today, but we're not doing it today. Usually I just do the tapes and then they type them up. And I never know what the Lord's going to give me during these services, but whatever it is, it'll be from the Lord. All right, so let's finish this off.
Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord."
Right, that means that if you sin, it doesn't make any difference if you're a Christian, it's supposed to be Christian sinner, or a secular sinner, the wages of your sin is death and hell in the lake of fire. So you have to, by faith, remember that he that sinneth, the word of God says, is of the devil. And it's for sure no devil or a little imp of the devil is going to enter the kingdom of God. There will be no sin, no spot, no wrinkle, no blemish enter the kingdom of God. So the way is straight and narrow, and to eternal life. But the gate is broad. There's 100 zillion ways that you can go to hell, but there's only one way you can get into heaven, and that is to have the Lord Jesus Christ with his Father by the Spirit living in you and working in and through you. Okay, now then what?
"Please, Pastor, your literature has made me to be in your church because God says someone who changes his negative attitude to the Lord Almighty's side, there will be joy in heaven more than what is in earth."
That's right. Every angel in heaven rejoices when a person comes to the Lord sincerely and lays down their own life of sin to live a life of faith. In God's righteousness, and to do, that means to do what the Lord says. Then what?
"So, Pastor, please, I wish you to send more of your literature and Bibles to read. Also, I'm applying to try to come to your church. In Jesus' name, I pray, because I am a born-again Christian. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Signed, Joseph from Ghana, Africa."
Well, if you never make it over to our gathering place, you're still in our church, because our church is the temple of God, which is Christ's body. It's the wineskin where all of us must be in we must all be in the wineskin or the bottle or the body of Christ. There's only one body. And so we're all in the same church, brother. Just wherever you're at, and unless you get permission to come here, just keep wailing over there, just distributing this literature to everyone, because you can plainly see that it is winning souls. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The next letter is from the Philippines. Dear Evangelist Tony Lamo, I thank the Lord and all of you for your work in broadcasting the message of salvation on Radio DWSS here in the Philippines. I enjoy your program very much, and my life has been changed with the new knowledge I acquired. I pray daily for souls to be saved, Christians encouraged, and backsliders to be restored. Listening to your program lifts my spirit as well as my friends. Please remember me in your prayers, that the Lord will bless me and fill me with the Spirit. Thanks again for your program, and may the Lord bless you as you continue. In Christ's love, Glenda Rose from the Philippines.
Well, praise the Lord, Sister Glenda. If you need literature or Bibles or the Messiah books or anything else, feel free to contact us, and we'll get them all to you free of charge. All right, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Then what?
The next letter is from Ibadan in Africa. It says, Dear brethren, grace, peace, and mercy be multiplied unto you in the name of Jesus. I want to thank and appreciate you for your message via the short wave that is coming to us through Radio Africa. Your broadcast has always been our favorite, a source of blessing, inspiration, and spiritual upliftment to me and my family. Please continue the good work, and I pray that God will crown your efforts with souls in Jesus' name. Amen. Could you oblige me with any teaching material, perhaps a Bible and some other sorts? May the Lord be with you. Amen. Yours in Christ, Madupi, from Ibadan, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Well, that's really sort of flattering, because on the stations that we're on over there, all the top evangelists in the United States are on there, and throughout the world, and they say that we're their favorite. Praise the Lord. Maybe that's because we're just more fearless than them, and I pray that they all become fearless as we are, because we want everybody to enter the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says the fearful and unbelieving shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. So any of you evangelists out there that are listening to me, the Bible says that the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as lions. And so if you're righteous, if you've got the Lord living in you and you're righteous, be bold, because there were plenty of odds against the different saints in the Old Testament and in the New. And you could see when you read the Word of God how that God delivered them from Sennacherib's army, 180,000 people. They all laid there like dead corpses. Amen?
Amen.
And we see how the entire Egyptian army was covered up with water and drowned. And the firstborn in Egypt were destroyed. We have the same God, and if we're righteous, and a lot of those people were not really righteous. It's just that God was going to put them and train them on the desert for 40 years and put them through some fire so that they would be righteous. A lot of them were not. Their corpses lay on the desert. But we have the Word of God now from the Old and New Testament, and we can be righteous. And God, you see how God protected them. Just think how God will protect all of us in these last days that are in the body of Christ, and have God, the Lord Jesus Christ, with God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit living in us. You know that God's going to protect us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If he did for a bunch of unrighteous people for a while, then what do you think he's going to do for the righteous? Amen?
Amen?
The righteous are as bold as lions. So you people gird yourself up and flee from people that say, oh, you better not do that, you're too controversial. A lot of television stations don't want me on the air because I'm too controversial. They don't want me on there because they don't want people to hear the real truth. They're afraid that they'll lose their FCC license. Okay, well, I don't care I'd rather just be not on television at all if I can't preach the truth. They said you can be on, but you have to cut out, naming names and calling shots and telling what's really going on in the world. Well, the people of the Lord, they have to know what's going on in the world. The people that are going to be fighting Satan have to know who Satan is. Otherwise, you're beating at the air, you know? It's like a prize fighter, like you're in the ring with Rocky Marciano or Tyson or somebody, and they're having a blindfold on. I want to know who my opponent is, and I want to know where that dude is. You know, I want to know where Satan is so that I can resist him when he comes. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says, you know, that if we resist him, that he flees from us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, then what?
That was the last letter.
All right, now let's get into part 21 of how to have God's life living in you. As if you didn't, you know. If you've been listening to us, you know already a great part of it, but we're just going to keep hammering on this because there's a lot of ways how to have God's life. There's so many different details of it that it's very important for you to listen to every broadcast, okay? All right, let's go.
The Lord Jesus Christ is the real earth or land to us.
Right, do you believe that? The Bible says that he is. He is the real earth because he is life. No, nothing else is life. He's the giver of life. So if you see blades of grass out there that are still green, they got their life from Jesus. If you look across the street into the cornfield or the wherever the flowers are or the trees, that life came from Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the L-I-F-E, okay? I'm the way, the truth, and the L-I-F-E. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so he says that he also is the resurrection. He is the life. Amen?
Amen.
So all the life that you see, if you see a little dog walking down the street, that dog got its life from Jesus. Any human being, any bird, any fish, all these things. So the earth itself is full of life, full of the Lord. And that's why when you plant a seed in there, the life that's in the earth and in the seed, the combination of the two causes it, because of Jesus, to rise up and have life in it and multiply itself because it has more seed in it. All right, so they're just a lot of people are just finding that out. So all life comes from the Lord, but it's all temporal life. But when we unite ourselves, or we allow the Lord to unite his spirit with ours, then we have his eternal life. And if we start sinning, then he departs from us because we've departed from him. He says, I'll never leave or forsake you. But if you leave and forsake him by sinning, well, then he's under no obligation because you've left him. All right? By sinning, you have left the Lord. He didn't leave you. You left him. So let's get that straight right now. Amen? Okay, it's very important to know, because you hear all these people, they're out there sinning and vomiting up wine and beer and booze and drugs, and say, well, you know, the Lord says he'll never leave or forsake me. And they're sitting on the curb down on 5th and Main in Los Angeles where all the drug dealers are and everything. Say, listen, wino, you left the Lord. And he's departed from you. If you read the Bible, you'll see that the Lord even left Samson. He says that the Bible says that the spirit departed from him, and he did not know it. And the spirit is like a dove. It's very gentle, and you don't know if it departs from you. The Bible says to be a great falling away from the Lord in the last days because the love of many would wax cold. There's just very few people that have any love of God in them. And they may have been right years ago, but then they started to say, well, the world has just turned into a sinful place, and in order for us to get along in this world, we're going to have to go along with some kind of sin and things like that. Don't you believe that? We're like pilgrims. We're sanctified, separated, consecrated unto the Lord if you want to go to heaven. Now, a lot of people have bought that story, and that's why we have the great falling away from the church, from the Lord, the Spirit, the body of Christ. So, realize this, that if you want to retain the Lord in you, you best not leave him. The way you leave him is to sin. Then you're just like thumbing your nose at him, and he said it's worse for you than it was before, because when you were just a sinner, you were able to repent and come to the Lord. But he said, if you sin after you've received the Holy Spirit, then there remains no more forgiveness for you, no more repentance. Says he's like a dog going back to its vomit. He's like a sow going back to the wallowing in the mire. And he says that you've trampled the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ underfoot and accounted it to be an unholy thing. It's like nothing to you. And so how do you expect God to stay with you when you think that his blood is an unholy thing and that the Spirit is unholy? If you think the Spirit's unholy, then you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and there's no forgiveness for that. You know, the Lord is very straight-laced. He's very good. He's wonderful. He's a wonderful God, but he's a God that also kills, and he will destroy those that don't serve him. Those that have known him, and then they go back into the world. We just got a letter. I got another letter. I got 17 emails and letters from the White House, President Bush, saying he wanted me to tell him what to do in the Middle East to bring about peace. And so I told him, don't start this war. Don't be bombing Iran or anywhere over there until you hear the piece of literature that I've written. So he held it back. I got it to him, and he didn't believe it. And I told him, you know, that people that bomb people and kill innocent people, they're not of the Lord, because the Lord commands us not to do that. And if you did kill people, then their blood is on your hands. And you may think, it's a small thing to sacrifice a few thousand or a few million people if we're going to save the whole world. You're not saving the world. You're not a Christian. You're a Catholic. And the Catholics believe that it's all right. We just heard that one of your counselors in the White House had stated that it's all right to torture children. Now, that may be hard to believe, but do we have that article here? It was in the Jewish newspaper. Somebody read it to me today. Who was it? Anybody here?
I did. It was next door.
Oh, she said it's. She read it to me, but it's next door. I wanted to have that read in this broadcast, that President Bush feels that it's all right to torture little children if he thinks they know something. There's an eighth thing in the U.S. Constitution or in the Bible that says you should torture children. And this, the man claims to be a Christian. The only ones that believe to do something like that are the Catholics. They've tortured children. They've tortured adults. They torture them on the rack. They've done this. Hundreds of millions of people have died, maybe billions of people, under the hand of the Vatican. All right, and we'll get that article for you. Then what else here?
The Lord Jesus Christ is the real earth or land to us. I've been a Christian now for close to 42 years, and it didn't take me years to find that out about the Lord. I knew that he was everything because he is so powerful to me. By witnessing to me himself, I know that he is the only life.
Right, there was nobody that could witness to me, no human being, because I didn't have any respect for any human beings. And, you know, I don't know how all these people in the world are deceived by the people that are on the air that call themselves Christians and Christian leaders and all that, because I could see the phoniness in them when I was unsaved. And when I got saved, it's for sure, I was ashamed to say I was a Christian, because everybody that I knew in show business knew that they were phonies out there. And one thing I told the Lord, I said, if you ever prove to me that you were there, I mean, I won't be like the rest of these chokers. What I'll do is, I don't care whether they call me reverend or what, but I will tell the truth about you. And I will not be in it for the money. Never. Okay, I have a Beatles album that I got from Pete Best, the original drummer of the Beatles. His mother recorded 6 Beatle albums, and he wanted me to do his promotion for him, and so I told him, do you have any money? And he said, well, no, but I've got a Beatles album that you can have that's never been released. And I said, okay, I'll take that. And so I took it, and I kept it all these years. And I could have sold it and still could sell it if I wanted to. But I don't want to sell it. I want to know that it's the Lord blessing me. I'm not in the ministry for money. If it's out for money, I'd sell that Beatles album and many other masters that I have in the can that I could release at any time on CDs. And there's a new sound system that's come out. It's called Megasound. Nobody's actually heard of it yet, but there's the people that have created and developed that want me to do the promotion for it. And they said they wanted to do the Beatles album with this Megasound, and they said it'll sell billions. And I said, no, I'm still not going to let you have it. And if anyone doubts my story, you can call Rogue Best in England or in Liverpool and Pete Best, and they'll tell you, yes, I do own a Beatles album. Yes, I did do the promotion for Pete Best of the Beatles. We had a band called Best of the Beatles. It was Pete Best and this new band of his. All right, and let's go. I've been saying this for years, and no one has ever refuted that. Liberty Records, Capitol, RCA, Sony Records, no one has ever doubted that, or no one in the industry has ever said, no, you don't have a Beatles album. So know this, friends, I'm not in the ministry for money, all right? I'm not in for anything but to serve the Lord. All right, go ahead now.
I felt that all there was in this life was just what I had experienced and was seeing, and it made me very bitter. But it made me extremely happy to know that there is a wonderful life in Christ.
Yes, I, when the Lord came down and witnessed to me himself, no preacher or teacher or anybody else, because I always figured if I made more money than anybody I knew, and I just figured, why should I talk to anybody if they didn't make as much money as me? I mean, I know that's a crazy way of thinking, but that's the way I thought. And so when anybody would come to me and say, well, believe in Jesus or something, I said, get out of my way. Don't even talk to me, you know, because Lord came down himself, and I actually saw Jesus face to face. I've seen almost hell. I saw the flicker of the flames of hell and felt the pressure of it and the screams and the disappointment of people being there and the frustration of them knowing that they can't get out. I've seen all that, and I've seen heaven. And I've seen the way I'm going to look, and my deceased wife, what she's going to look like in heaven, what she does look like now. And so, you know, there isn't anything that can sway me from the gospel. But, you know, to torture people, why don't you weasels try to convert people? That's what we do. You people have done so many wrong things to us, but I've never threatened you once. I've never sent anybody out after you like I used to before I was saved, while I had a good alibi. I have only prayed for you and preached the gospel to you people. And that shows for sure that I'm different than I was before I was saved. I'm a new creature. I want you to be saved, even though you have thrown me in prison on false charges. And you collected a bunch of people that had to leave this church and had them lie about me and sent me to prison. I thought it was all right because I won a lot of souls to the Lord in prison, people that were in gangs and all kinds of Muslims and Buddhists and all kinds of different religions there. And they know the truth now. And so it was a good thing. The devil always trips himself up whenever he does anything, even when he had Jesus nailed to the cross. Jesus, that was the perfect time for Jesus to prove that he was God. He came down off the cross, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. He showed everybody that he's alive, and then the 500 people saw him ascend into the kingdom of heaven in a cloud, and that showed that he is God. You haven't seen anybody lately do that, have you?
No.
There's no record of anyone else doing that. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we know that Elijah was taken up, but he didn't die. And so did Enoch. He didn't die. But Jesus died, was buried, went to hell, rose from hell, the grave, from death unto life, and out of that cave where he was buried, And then he ascended up into the kingdom of heaven.
No one else has ever done that before, friends. All right?
So if you have the Lord living in you, you will be able to raise from the dead also and ascend into heaven. Praise the Lord. Okay, then what?
It made me extremely happy to know that there is a wonderful life in Christ.
That there's a God up above, and that he is, he hears everything, he knows everything we're thinking, and everything we're doing. He knows if you're going to reject him today or if you're going to accept him. And if you reject him, he hardens your heart like he did Pharaoh until you become so deceived that you have accepted strong delusion to believe a lie that your soul might be damned. You better read the Bible to see the way God really is instead of the Santa Claus they're telling you about on these TV programs. God is all lovey-dovey, and that he just loves you unconditionally. That's terribly wrong. With the Lord, everything is conditional, okay? You have to come unto him in order to be saved. He's not going to chase after you. Okay, then what?
It made me extremely happy to know that God is my life, that Jesus is my life. He's my light, and he's my food, the living water, and everything.
And it's good to know that Jesus is God. Amen?
Amen.
And what else?
And that he's the way, land, everything that he created. He's the land that I live on. As we get older in the Lord, too, we can find these facts in the Bible. The Lord is our dwelling place. If you read these scriptures on a daily basis for as long as I have, if you had a real experience with the Lord, you are going to notice that right away, that the Lord is our dwelling place. In the 19th Psalm, in the first verse, it's actually the Psalm of Moses. Moses said, quote, Lord, thou art our dwelling place from generation to generation, unquote. Moses and other people wrote some of the Psalms as well. If you read and receive the Word of God, it will open your eyes to see that he is your dwelling place. So the Lord is something a lot more than just what you think. The Lord is not only your dwelling place, he is for me, but he is also our land. The Lord is the land for you and for me. In the Old Testament, the Lord always refers to a piece of land. The Lord called Abraham out and told him that he would bring him to a certain land, which was the land of Canaan. And then if you read the scriptures, you'll see that there are many other times that the Lord mentioned that sort of thing, from the 12th chapter of Genesis to the entire end of the Old Testament. The Lord always talked about and referred to the land over and over again. The land, oh, the land, oh, yes, the land. I promised to thy fathers the land I promised Abraham, the land I promised Isaac, the land I promised Jacob, the land I promised you. I will bring you into the land. Always it was the land. And so we're going to talk about that Jesus also is the real deal. The land that we're living on now is not the real land. The water, the food that we drink and eat, is not the real drink and the real food. The house we live in is not our real house, but it's Jesus. He's our dwelling place. He's our food, our drink, our habitation. So Jesus is the real David. Jesus is everything, and he's against religion.
He's the real bridegroom. He is the real, we are the children of the bridegroom. He's the one that sent us out to invite people to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We ourselves have written invitations, and we are become virgins because the Lord has washed all our sins away, and we're destined to be the bride of the Lamb, the New Jerusalem, the church, the people that have been assembled in the one body. Christ is the head, and we're in his body, the wineskin. And we have the wine in us, the wine, the Spirit of God. Then what?
There was definitely a law. The Old Testament stated that only the priests were allowed to eat the showbread in the house of God. Yet the same Word of God, which is Christ, records this regulation as a record, telling how David entered the temple together with his men, his followers, and they ate the showbread, and God did not condemn them for it. The Lord Jesus, in telling of this, was telling the Pharisees, I am the real David, and my disciples are the real followers of the real David. If in ancient time David and his followers ate the showbread, which they were not allowed to eat and were not condemned, how can you condemn me? Jesus said, you must be aware that David was only a figure, a type, a symbol, or a shadow of Jesus.
Right, because a greater than David is here, and that's Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Did not Jesus create David out of the dirt of the ground?
Amen.
All right, so he's the greater. Amen?
Amen.
And if David can eat showbread and not be condemned, so can the one that made David. Amen?
Amen.
He can eat some corn and pick it on the Sabbath because he's the Sabbath. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen?
Amen.
You have to get all that religion out of you. I'm teaching you how to get religion out of you and how to get Christ in you. Amen? And how you to get in Christ. All right? If that makes sense to you. If it doesn't, you're in trouble. Okay, then what?
Jesus was saying, I'm the real David. If whatever David did was okayed by the law, then whatever I do must be lawful.
Right, because Jesus didn't do anything unlawful. He never committed a sin. Amen?
Amen.
David did, but not Jesus. Okay, then what?
It's for sure he's not going to commit adultery or fornication or be a homosexual, anything like that. But eating and drinking we're talking about now. If you go into the temple by yourself...
And working on the Sabbath, picking corn. Amen?
Amen.
Or healing somebody on the Sabbath day. There's nothing wrong with eating, drinking, and healing. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
If you go into the temple by yourself without David and eat the showbread, you will be condemned. It is by David being with you is how it became legal.
And it's the Lord being with you, it's legal. If you're in the Lord, if you're in the body of Christ, then how could anything you do be illegal? Amen?
Amen.
Because God is with you and you're with him. Amen?
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, then what?
It is by being in the presence of David that whatever you do is lawful. Not whatever you do, but as far as eating the showbread when you're hungry.
Well, anything, David is not going to commit any sin. He did that one sin, but he repented often all his life after that. But Jesus never committed any sin. And so as long as you're with Jesus, you're fine. Because you're not going to sin if you're in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But you're going to do as the Spirit tells you. And the Spirit tells you to go ahead and pick corn on the Sabbath. Or if the Lord tells you to do that, you can do it. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
It's not a matter of the law, but a matter of David. We're talking about the real David. Jesus.
Yeah, which is Jesus, right? Then what?
Now today, it's not a matter of the law fully. It's a matter of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, see, we're not supposed to be ourselves any longer. We're supposed to be Christ's. Because Christ bought us, and we belong to him. Amen?
Amen?
He bought us with his blood, didn't he?
Yes.
He purchased us with his life. And so we belong to him, and so his life is in us, and so we're supposed to be him, a member of him. Amen?
Amen.
So it's all right. If a him tells us that him wants to eat, well, then him is going to eat. Okay? You understand? If him tells us to stay in bed, him is going to stay in bed if you really are of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And if him tells you to heal somebody, to pray for him, then him is going to do it if you're going to be obedient to the Lord. Even if the Pharisees say you're not supposed to do it because it's on the Sabbath day, the Lord is the Sabbath. Amen?
Amen.
Him is with you. Him is in you. And you are in him. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, they have this joke that says, where does Godzilla sleep? Godzilla sleeps wherever he wants to sleep. Amen?
Amen.
If he wants to lay down on the Statue of Liberty and curl himself around there at night. I mean, you're talking about somebody that's way bigger than this fictitious character Godzilla. The Lord is the universe, and he'll do what he pleases. Amen?
Amen.
But he will not cross his own law. Okay? And if you're in him, whatever he wants you to do, you can do. Amen?
Amen?
And if you don't want to do it, if you say, no, Lord, he's liable to get uptight at you. There was a time when you couldn't even preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Us Jews were not able to, but then him come down and talk to Cornelius and to Peter, and he says to him, I am says that you can now do that. Because now, he says, I told Abraham a long time ago, so I'm not conflicting with the Old Testament, that your seed will bless all the nations. So that way he can bless people from Mexico, Puerto Rico, Cuba, or in the Netherlands, up in Germany. All people can be blessed now. The gospel is not just for the Jews now. It's to anyone that will believe, that has faith. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
All right, so that him says so. That's why. Aren't you glad that him said so?
Amen.
All right, then what?
As long as Christ is with you, as long as you do something in the presence of Christ, like eating and drinking when you're hungry, well, then it's all right.
Yeah, it's all right to preach to the Gentiles. Okay? And also to the Jews that don't believe. All right, then what?
Now, the Lord is not going to be with you if you're going to commit adultery and fornication or be a homosexual or a lesbian.
No, but you can witness to sinners as long as you don't get caught up into their sins. Amen. You can sit there with them as Jesus did and witness to them and testify to them. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus did. All right, what else?
Well, why is this so today? Because we live according to the law of the Spirit of life. As long as the Lord is present with us, he's always instant in us, and he is the up-to-date lawgiver. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So that makes Jesus today's real David. David didn't commit any sin like going in and eating the showbread. He said that he wanted to make sure that the Spirit of the Lord was always with him, and the Spirit of Christ allowed him to go in there and eat with his men. But we're Christ's followers, and we have Christ with us because he's the bridegroom and the wine is in us. We're in the bride chamber. We're invited guests, and we're on the way to the kingdom of heaven. We're virgins because we don't sin anymore, but we walk in the Spirit. To do what the Spirit tells you to do, as long as it doesn't deny the Word of God, and Jesus explains this situation, then we're not sinners, and we are doing things with Him in us, and ourselves in Him. So as we're eating and drinking in His presence, the moral law never goes away. Therefore, don't think that this message is in regard to that you can break the moral law. But if you're in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, then the regulations today are that Christ tells you what to do and say.
Yeah, but he will never tell you to break the moral law. He says the law will stay intact until the very end. Every jot and tittle of it. So, you know, the moral law is not done away with, but only the law of sacrifice is the law of Sabbath, the kind of Sabbath. Just died in the wool Sabbath, or the law of circumcision, all those kind of laws are done away with because Jesus is our circumcision. You cannot have Jesus, the Father, with his Father by the Spirit in you unless you get circumcised. The Spirit cuts into your heart and into your spirit, and that is the spiritual circumcision now. Circumcision of the flesh doesn't mean anything, but everyone that has God in them, the Lord Jesus Christ with his Father by the Spirit, has been circumcised by the Spirit. The Spirit circumcises the heart, your heart, and then you're born again of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
You don't walk by the letter anymore, but we walk by the Spirit.
By faith. We walk by faith. Amen?
Amen.
Not by sight, by faith. In what the Lord says. Go ahead.
We walk by the Spirit in the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is in us, and we're in Him. But the real David is Christ. So we're walking in the Spirit of the real David. So as long as I'm following Christ, the bridegroom, or my David today, as long as I am one with my Christ who never sinned, and I'm not sinning, Whatever he tells me that I can do in his presence is all right. Are you able to say it is? Do you have the vision or do you have the word of God to be able to know this and to say it? So Jesus is the greater temple. We're the temples of the Lord, but he's the greater temple.
Yeah, in other words, they went into the temple to get the showbread, but that isn't the real temple. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is the real temple, so we're going to him and he's the bread of life. Amen?
Amen.
That bread was just symbolic of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
David believed in Jesus, and so he went into the pseudo-temple and ate the pseudo-bread. But Jesus is the temple, and he's the bread of life. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord is in us because we're his temple, and he's our temple. Amen?
Amen.
So if you go into the temple of the Lord and eat bread, it's okay. Amen?
Amen.
Understand? Oh, that's an intricate thing, you know, but you just got to, you know, think about it. Read, you know, meditate. That's what you're supposed to do. Then what?
Jesus said, quote, "Have ye not read," unquote. Do not think you understand the Bible more than the Lord Jesus. He is the Bible. Then the Lord Jesus checked with them, quote, "Have ye not read in the law that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless?" Unquote. He said they're not guilty, that it is even lawful for the priests to break the Sabbath as long as they are in the temple, in Jesus.
Yeah, if you're in the Jesus, you're perfect. Amen?
Amen.
They say, there's no one that's perfect. If you're in Jesus, you're perfect. Are you trying to say that Jesus is not perfect? I doubt that you'll say that in front of him when you're standing there before him and he starts pouring his wrath out on you. You're the imperfect one because you don't believe the scriptures the way they are. You don't study enough or meditate on the scriptures enough to even know what they mean or say. Okay, then what?
There is no bondage to religion. We're free from the law because of the flexibility of being in Christ. We're free from that law of the Sabbath, but not the moral law.
Yeah, but we're not. We're in the Sabbath always. And we, the body of Christ, Christ is the Sabbath. So we're in there all the time. So the Lord allows us to do things while in him, the Sabbath, right? So it's flexible now. You're really saved. You're really in the real temple. You're really eating the real bread and drinking the real water. Amen?
Amen.
Because we don't experience eternity when we go to eternity. We have to start eating and drinking of the Lord now. Yeah. We need to start experiencing eternity right now. Okay? We have eternal life now, not when we die only, but it's now that we have to eat of the eternal manna and a drink of the eternal water, because that's Jesus. And he said, if we don't drink of him and eat of him, that we in no wise can enter the kingdom of heaven. So we have to eat eternal things now. Okay, in this life. Amen?
Amen.
All right, you never learned this in the Baptist church, did you? No. Okay, then what?
If they are not in Christ, if they're outside of the temple, if they're not living in him as the temple, they must keep the Sabbath. But if they are in the temple with Christ, in other words, if they're in Christ, they are liberated from the actual cut and dry of the letter Sabbath.
Right, there's no temple that is of the Lord that's made by hands. He lives in us now. We're born again of the Spirit. We're new creatures, and we belong in him. Adam's wife came out of Adam. The Lord's bride comes out of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We're new creatures. We're not carnal people anymore. Even though we're living in the flesh, we still are also spiritual. More spiritual than flesh. Then what?
The temple is their emancipation. Our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, quote, "I say unto you that one greater than the temple is here." Unquote. The Lord Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, "My disciples were eating in the temple. They were breaking the Sabbath, but they were in me, in today's greater temple. That's who they were in. As long as they're in me, whatever they do, so long as they don't break the moral law, is right. Because I'm not going to tell them to break the moral law. What have you got to say? What can you do? Do you really believe that you know the Bible? I can tell you, the Pharisees and scribes, you know just a little. You really don't know the Bible so well. Have you not read, the priests were allowed to profane the Sabbath, or they can say that they profane the Sabbath in the temple, only in the temple. I am the greater temple, and all my disciples are the priests in me. Whatever they do, even if it is against, not against the moral law, but the law of the Sabbath, to where they can't eat or drink or prepare food.
Against religion, yeah. It's against religion, but not against salvation. Okay? Religion is of the devil. Salvation is of the Lord. Okay, so you have to stop being so religious. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
It is not actually against the law, because they are in the greater temple. Me, the Lord says, so they're free, but if you're outside the temple, you're in bondage. In other words, if you're in religion, you're in bondage, but if you're born again of the Spirit and you are in the temple, you are free, because those that the Lord sets free are free indeed. If you're outside, if you're not inside Christ, you are under bondage. But if you're in Christ, you're free to walk in the Spirit, to do what the Lord says.
To do what the Lord does through in and through you. It's Him telling you to eat the showbread. It's Him in you telling you to pick the corn. He's the one that took them out into the fields on the Sabbath day and had them marching through there and told them to go ahead and eat. Amen?
Yeah.
He was just, you know, rubbing it into the religious people. Hey, I'm the Sabbath. Amen? And what else?
It is simply wonderful. It's marvelous. Jesus is not only the temple today, but He is also the greater temple. You can never do better than the Lord Jesus. They'll come to Him and try to win your case that you're against what He says because you're not in Him. Because when you're just talking to Him, you don't have a case, and you don't dare ever say that you lost your case because you never had a case to begin with. Jesus has the answer for everything. He has all the lawsuits handled. Jesus says again, have you not read about David? Have you not read about the priests in the temple? Have you not read, so shut up, so be quiet? So that also Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. The Pharisees said that it was not lawful to pick the corn and eat it because it was the Sabbath. Eventually, the Lord Jesus told them, quote, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, verse 8. The Lord Jesus said, in effect, I had the right in ancient times to establish the Sabbath, and today I have the right to do it away with the Sabbath.
Well, what right has he got? Anybody asks what right he has, go to Genesis 1, the first chapter. He made the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof, and so he can do what he pleases, amen?
Amen?
Whether you like it or not, Mr. Religious Man, all right? Are you greater than the God that created everything? Put the breath in your nose and lets you breathe all the time? You got to be crazy to think that you can dictate to the Lord and say, what doest thou? He does. He's got it all figured out really good, and he lays it down just right to make people know that the whole Old Testament was pointing to Christ. And so when Christ comes, that's who we go with. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I see that my time is up again. I just wish that hours would stretch out a little bit longer so I could say more. But you could tune in tomorrow for the 22nd part of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And again, if you want to receive a copy of this tape, ask for tape 123 or CD 123, and you can receive it by emailing us at
alamoministries.com
or faxing us at
Area code 479-782-7406.
If you order a copy of this tape, you'll hear the phone number and also the address to write us. But right now, if you want to be in the real temple, if you want to be clothed upon with the Lord and have the Lord inside of you, all you need to do, you can start right now by saying this prayer to the Lord and mean it with all your heart, soul, and mind. Say to Him, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because Your word says so. Your word says that You'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know You've heard me, and I know You've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. And seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Say, "Thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord." Just be thankful to the Lord and raise your hands up to Him, and the power of God will come down upon you, and you'll be able to live in a peaceful life in this world full of trials and tribulations, full of violence and filth and degeneracy. Just stay into the Lord, and you'll have peace that passes all understanding. Well, until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you and praise the Lord. Keep on reading. Praise the Lord. Keep on keeping the Spirit. Amen and amen.